This is KNKX. I'm Ed Bronco. Boeing has confirmed reports that they will consolidate production of the 787 in South Carolina. The company says the move will save cash while demand for planes is down because of the pandemic. But Seattle-based aviation reporter John Ostrower says that while the consolidation will certainly create efficiency, the road to consolidating 787 production in South Carolina has actually been long and inevitable. Ostrower told me that this story begins more than 10 years ago when the 787 program was just getting off the ground.
So, you know, it started with suppliers who were there in North Charleston who were really struggling to do what they needed to do to get the 787 program up and running. And Boeing had to step in. And at first, they sent just swarms of people to help them get up and running. And then in 2008, it became clear that they needed to actually buy the supplier facilities. So that gave Boeing the first footprint in South Carolina. And at that point, everyone was speculating, rightly, that this would open the door to a second assembly line for the 787. And in just for historical context, a commercial aircraft manufacturer on any continent at any time in aviation history has never built a twin-aisle airplane in two different places. So right off the bat, it was clear that by duplicating the 787 line, which was a decision that they made in October of 2009, so almost exactly 11 years ago, which came before the airplane even flew, that was a signal that there was a desire to expand in South Carolina, and in a way that looked far more zero sum than it was additive to Boeing's core manufacturing operations in the Pacific Northwest. That if Charleston expanded, there would be something that was not going to be happening in Everett. And based on the 57-day strike that happened in 2008, right on the eve of the financial crisis, labor relations were awful at the time. The 787 was phenomenally behind schedule, massively over budget. The strike had just happened a year before. The global financial crisis was well underway, and Boeing ultimately had to look at this from a way that distanced themselves from the workforce in Everett, which, by the way, was at the same time saving their bacon on the 787 program by fixing and getting up and running the manufacturing operations of the plane at the time. So as this was unfolding and they finally decided in 2009 to establish a second final assembly line, you know, back then employees were telling me, yep, it's just a matter of time before Charleston gets the whole thing. And they knew then. And so for employees, this is not a gigantic shock. They have seen this coming for a long time, no less painful, but not a gigantic shock.
So do you see, just to be clear, do you see this as Boeing, you know, creating a problem so that it may solve it?
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, look, certainly they gave themselves, they opened the door.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because we know that efforts to unionize in South Carolina have failed. So on one hand, you know, here's Boeing saying, well, this is more efficient this way. But is it as simple as that workforce isn't union and the one in Washington is, and it's easier for us to deal with the one in South Carolina?
It isn't that simple. Nothing is ever that simple. It's certainly, I would say it's an understanding the history of all this and understanding the relationship between its workforce, Boeing's workforce and Boeing management. It is the largest piece of this. There are efficiencies that you gain by having everything under one roof. The question Boeing will get the answer to in the next several years is whether or not that decision will do more damage to the larger enterprise then it actually gains a benefit by having South Carolina having all of 787.
You know, in recent days, since the Wall Street Journal first reported this likelihood and now confirmed event that Boeing will consolidate in South Carolina, we've heard state lawmakers and local leaders worried, concerned about workers, concerned about the local economy. The mayor of Everett is concerned, but also said that her city will, you know, remain an aviation hub for years to come. So what do you see happening with the industry here now that Boeing is moving this giant flagship program out of Washington State?
I think this is a very resilient industry. And I think one of the things that always lent itself to Everett and Washington State's advantage in aerospace discussions was the quality of its workforce and the experience of that workforce. So look, if there are going to be several thousand aerospace workers without jobs as a result of this in Puget Sound, there are going to be other companies that will take advantage of that. There are space startups. There's Blue Origin, which has been hiring like crazy. That's Jeff Bezos' space operation. There are small aircraft manufacturers. That talent is going to find a home going forward.
John, we know that Boeing is hitched to our success in the Puget Sound region economically. It's been such a huge economic force for decades here. What should we think about our future?
So it's important to remember that the 787 is not the only airplane that's built here. So this is not the end of Everett. This is not the end of manufacturing in the Puget Sound. But this enters a period of a lot of uncertainty that I think is going to guide what happens to Boeing. And here we are, you know, it's 2020. I would say 20 years ago, the region was significantly more exposed to industry downturns. And, you know, the nature of the changed Western Washington economy, I think, is extremely notable. You've got Amazon, you've got Costco, you've got Starbucks, you've got Microsoft. I mean, thinking about the role of those types of businesses operating here, and by the way, the ecosystem of the tech ecosystem, the everything that accompanies that, is going to ultimately cushion the blow here. And I think it's important also to note an important dichotomy here, which is a lot of those are, you know, tech, high skill, white collar, ultimately, jobs that are very different from a machinist aerospace worker who's working at Boeing. So you see a dichotomy in the Seattle Western Washington economy here, that manufacturing is going in one direction and tech is going in another. But looking at the state of aerospace as a whole, you also begin to see the re-intersection of those two. Amazon is a retail company. Amazon is a tech company with an enormous cloud computing business, but they're also moving toward their own aerospace business. Amazon Prime Air is going to be a major freighter operator over the next 10 or 15 years that wants to rival FedEx and UPS. So you actually see a lot of these businesses that have traditionally been exclusively tech actually begin to merge into Boeing's lane in terms of drone operations, in terms of unmanned systems, in terms of all of this. I mean, look, you look at the satellite constellation that Amazon wants to put up. That makes them an aerospace company. So you actually begin to see this transformation taking place as the new entrants begin to, you know, lay down their own roots as Boeing is moving theirs eastward.
John Ostrower, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
He's editor-in-chief of the aircurrent.com, a Seattle-based news and information service for the aerospace industry.